Atheist Nomads, episode 421. What is Theocracy?
The podcast you're about to listen to includes cursing and talking about hoo-haws. Please be advised.
Welcome to another episode of Atheist Nomads. I am Dustin, and joining me is Lauren.
Hello.
Mostly.
So we got some feedback from a concerned listener wanting to make sure that we were healthy, in good health and okay. I did mention at the end of last episode that we were taking a vacation. I should have mentioned it before the very end when most reasonable people
skip it.
So yep. We were on vacation last week. We were fine. We saw my parents and spent some time on the beach and
spent some time with my sister. Also, you know, just a lot of time on the beach. It was great.
Yeah.
Oregon coast.
It was awesome. We made a point of only spending time with vaccinated adults and children who were too young to be vaccinated. And everybody seems to be healthy.
Yes.
And it was a fantabulous time.
It really was. I'm in the middle of that vacation letdown. I don't know how many of you get it, but you know, you get the constant endorphin rush of a vacation where you're constantly doing new things or something, and then you come home and it's right back to the same old routine that you were struggling with before you left. Yeah, that's a total bummer, by the way. But
yeah,
you get through it.
Oh, and I'm drinking a beer we picked up on the trip. Tsunami Export Stout by Pelican Brewing from Tillamook, Oregon.
And I forgot to get their cheese curds. They had fried cheese curds in Tillamook. Tillamook, people. That's cheese, like, central. And I didn't get cheese curds.
All right, so.
No. Hold on. I'm still ranting. We stopped in Hermiston, Oregon, too. Hermiston is famous for their watermelons. Did I come home with a watermelon? No. No, I did not. It was very upsetting.
We got in at 10 o'clock Saturday night and left.
That's beside the point.
At 9 Sunday morning.
Hermiston melons.
Yeah.
Famous.
Yeah.
However, we did get some fresh clams off the beach.
Dug out of the
beach. Out of the beach.
I was digging clams.
You were very good at it, too.
It was fun.
You were a wonderful clammer. Clammering. You're clammering.
Clam digger.
Clammering for clams.
I think clam digger.
Yep. Okay. Yep. Now we can move on.
All right. So, for Dustin Off the Grid, we're going to talk about theocracy. It is a term that gets thrown about all the time. What it literally means is government by God.
Dun, dun, dun. This sounds epic.
When people think of theocracies, they generally think of people trying to rule based on religion.
Right, like Sharia law or blue laws or something like that.
And the attempts to restrict abortion access and access to contraceptives and
the attempt to bring prayer back to schools.
Right, all of that. Ten Commandments monuments. The whole nine yards. In its purest form, and it is safe to say that when you talk about governmental systems, pure governmental systems don't exist.
Right, they're theoretical.
Theocracy is in its pure form, if you don't believe gods are real, has existed in as pure of a form as any system of government has ever existed. Where, for example, the Babylonian and Persian emperors, Assyrian as well. They were god kings.
Kings who claimed that they were gods as well, or...
They were kings who claimed to be gods. They were worshipped by their people as gods. They were given offerings, which most people would consider taxes, but also got to collect taxes.
Right.
So you collect the normal taxes, and then you also get the temple offerings. Alexander the Great believed from a very young age that he was a demigod.
Okay.
Believed that his father wasn't actually Philip of Macedon.
No, he was...
It was actually Zeus.
Nice.
Or Apollo. That either Zeus or Apollo had come down and impregnated his mom, and he was actually a demigod.
That's a great way to live.
Thus, he could not be defeated in battle, and he was never defeated in battle. Well, after he defeated the Persian god king, he wasn't content with just being a demigod anymore.
Ah.
And so he started to view himself more as a god king.
Upgrade.
And wanted to be addressed as a god king. But the Greeks were fine with him being a demigod, not cool with him being a god king. The Caesars. After Julius Caesar died, he was deified by the Roman Senate. So he was upgraded to a god. You could make sacrifices to Julius Caesar.
Okay.
That made Augustus, as his adopted son and successor, the son of God.
Okay.
When Augustus died, he was deified and worshipped as not just the son of a god, but a god.
Cool. Wish he could have lived that out in the real life.
Pretty soon, Roman emperors were starting to view themselves more as just gods.
They jumped the line there.
Yeah. Decided it was time to just not have their predecessors be worshipped, but be worshipped themselves. And so
it really makes sense. You're eventually going to get worshipped anyways.
The cult of the emperor included sacrifices to the emperor, as well
lots
as paying
virgins, I'm sure.
More, you know, generally it would have been you burn a, you know, when you barbecue your food, you're doing it in an offering to the Caesar.
Who on earth is barbecuing virgins?
Yeah, it's not virgins.
Oh.
The offerings.
Gotcha. The offerings. I just assumed that, you know, if you're a god king, you're going to be wanting virgins as an offering.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure there was plenty of that, especially in the ancient Mesopotamian.
But not barbecued virgin.
But not barbecued, no. No.
Okay.
The ancient Egyptians, also the pharaohs.
Totally got off on the wrong track on that one.
The pharaohs also viewed themselves as god kings.
And cats. No, they didn't think of themselves as cats.
Their gods were cats.
Yes.
As a general rule of thumb, an empire based on a river had god kings.
Oh, okay.
If you control the river, you control life.
You control water, you control life.
Water is life.
Yes, okay.
Alexander took interest in that because of, you know, destroying a river. Well, the Persians took interest in that because they conquered a river empire. Then the Greeks took interest in that because they conquered a god king. And then eventually the Roman emperors took interest in that because, what the hell? If Alexander and the Persians and Babylonians could do it, why not them?
What particular river are we talking about here?
Tigris and Euphrates and Nile.
Okay.
So the Assyrians were Tigris. The Babylonians were centered on the Euphrates. The Egyptians on the Nile River.
I vaguely remember those from some history class way back when.
Now,
that hits fast.
There's also,
I'm talking about the booze.
Yep. There's also relatively recent god kings that lasted way, way, way later.
Yeah. Well,
the Chinese and Japanese emperors.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So the, because let's see here. The only one I know about is Japan, right? So you had the god and goddess of creation, had the, you know, the sun daughter who begat the first emperor of Japan, and all the emperors were descended from that emperor. Therefore, they were all descended from the sun goddess. Therefore, they were all gods and worshipped as such. They were infallible.
Mm-hmm.
Until fast forward to World War II. Yikes. Fast forward to, yeah, World War II, where Hirohito finally had to admit that he was not from a line of gods. And
there was a compromise between the Japanese government and the U.S.
Right,
authorities.
He could stay ruler as long as he,
he could stay puppet emperor. Or not puppet, but
he could stay the monarch.
A ceremonial monarch. But he had to denounce being divine.
Yeah, that was a big deal.
So those are true theocracies, where the people believe that the ruler is God. Where the dictates of the boss,
like the creepy guy in 300.
Yeah, the Persian god king.
Xerxes?
Yes, Xerxes.
Yeah, okay. I remember that movie.
Also in the Bible, who is also a character in the Bible, in the Book of Esther.
Oh, okay. Cool.
Where she was one of the many, many virgins that were given an offering to him when he needed to find a new wife because the last one
pissed
him off.
Man.
Yeah.
Obsessed.
Oh, yeah.
Kings are obsessed.
So, yes, yeah, so there have been, you know, and when you have a empire, for the king to be not just obeyed, but worshipped is a valuable thing for maintaining the power of that empire.
Right.
Maintaining the loyalty of your subjects.
Yeah, obviously.
By the time you got to medieval Europe, kings couldn't be god kings because there were the Lord Spiritual and the Pope.
Ah.
And a shadow
ruin it for everybody.
A shadow government of bishops running throughout Europe with its own network of spies and diplomats and clerks who were actually clerics, as in priests, serving in the courts, basically as the Pope's spies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They were porting.
If any
all up.
Yeah, if any European king had tried to started viewing himself as a god, that would have been reported to the Pope, and the Pope would have had one of the other kings put him down as a heretic.
Right.
It would not have gone over well.
No. And is that kind of unique to the Abrahamic god, or
of not having god kings?
Yeah.
I wouldn't say unique.
But definitely like
but in the
part of it.
In the Abrahamic religions, you cannot have a god king.
Right. Well, right. I mean, that doesn't make sense.
It's not possible. The Abrahamic religion form of theocracy is not a true theocracy, just like...
It's a cousin.
Just like Stalinism was not pure, true communism.
Oh, right.
It was a bastardization of it. Abrahamic religion theocracy is where priests and bishops and imams and rabbis and the like become the rulers. There tend to be democratic elements to it. There can also be autocratic elements to it. But in every case, you will have the leaders of the government claiming to be speaking for God. They can't claim to be God. They have to claim to be speaking for God.
Right. Because you're burned at, you know, burned if you dare to say anything else.
Yep. So countries with Sharia law are referred to as theocratic because...
But they're the secondary sub-theocratic.
Like if you look at Saudi Arabia.
Okay. Okay. Yeah.
It is an autocratic government with theocratic elements.
Okay.
Because it is...
A major minor system.
Yeah. You've got a secular king who is very devout in a very particular, very conservative form of Islam who allows religious leaders to run a significant portion of the judicial and legal system.
Right, they get to write the laws, so that makes it theocratic.
It makes it largely theocratic, while not being even remotely, truly, purely theocratic.
Right.
Kind of like how modern communist China is not really communist, but it is.
In name.
But it isn't.
But it's own... Yeah. It's North Korea?
North Korea has a...
A little bit more theocratic.
The Kims are deified.
Okay, so they're more primary theocratic.
So you could describe that as a communist, autocratic communist theocratic regime.
Your degree is starting to bubble in here.
When you get into like American theocrats, they are not even going for Saudi Arabia style theocracy. What they're trying to institute is an even more watered down version of it that realistically, if you were to be calling that theocracy, we would have to call Britain a theocratic country.
Right.
And Guatemala theocratic.
Have a church. We don't even have that.
Yeah.
So stop using the word theocracy. It's wrong. And but still maintain the separation of church and state because that's right.
Now, where I do think calling these people theocrats...
That was a joke.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Where I do think calling these people theocrats is not necessarily a bad approach, as long as you know that they are not even close to literally being theocrats.
As long as you understand that somebody's going to push their glasses up the bridge of their nose and goes, actually,
if
theocracy is technically...
Yeah, if you're ready for that, then
Which you now are.
Yes.
Thanks to this primer.
What they are trying to do is institute religiously informed laws.
Mm.
They are trying to codify elements of generic conservative Christianity. Generic conservative American Christianity.
Yeah.
You can't even call it Protestant or Catholic. It's just American. Generic American Christianity.
American.
Where they want to restrict access to abortions, they want to restrict access to contraceptives. No, they want to ban abortions.
Well, ban abortions, restrict contraceptives, restrict alcohol, drugs, Yeah.
They want to get rid of same-sex marriage. They
work
want
on Sunday. schools and churches to be the same thing.
Yeah. All of those things. Yes.
All of those things that we're constantly bitching about on this show.
Those are all efforts to whittle away at the wall of separation between church and state that is crumbling. The wall is actively crumbling.
Yeah. Has been for years.
They're trying to finally smash it.
It's the only reason this podcast is still around.
Not the only, but
one of the reasons.
A big one.
We still have stuff to complain about. Yeah. So,
what they are doing is trying to get to a level of jurisprudence where laws don't have to be religiously neutral.
Which I won't say traditionally has been the way it is, because it's not. There's a lot of traditional laws on the books that are not at all a secular. But that's kind of the ideal. You got to keep fighting for that ideal.
Yeah. Once they get that, not needing laws to be religiously neutral, there will be a lot of laws they'll get passed that will really suck. Mostly at the state level.
Fucking states. It's like fucking counties and fucking cities. It's like the more local you get, the crazier, batshit insane it gets.
And it's supposed to be that way.
I mean, yeah.
But there's supposed to be some checks from above.
We were just discussing which is worse, to be a blue city in a red state or in a red city in a blue state. And it seems like, well, it's obviously, it's just flipped, so it would be equally bad. But that's not true at all. The more conservative the big general one is, the worse off the little blue one will be. But the blue one still has the power to maintain its own. Oh, man, it's complicated.
I would put it as the blue city, red state, you have the greatest chance of laws fucking you over.
Point.
While your daily life is fine.
Yeah.
Red city, blue state, and I'm going to say this as specifically, I am specifically referring to in 2021 during a global pandemic right after the Trump administration.
Okay, fair enough.
Red city in a blue state, you've got a bunch of really pissed off people who might kick your ass for wearing a mask. Even though there's an active mask mandate in that state.
Right.
Here, nobody's going to kick your ass for wearing a mask, even though there isn't a mask mandate, because the acting governor, when the actual governor was away, put in an executive order, and Brad Little, they've got such a grip on him. Like, they seriously got him by the balls.
Yep.
And he's been afraid to undo that.
Yeah. He's been ballsy enough to tell her to back down for the future, but he won't undo that. Anyway, that's we digress.
All right, so now it's time for news. Afghanistan.
No, I don't want to talk about Afghanistan. It's been depressing. It's been upsetting. It's been a whole lot of shit hitting the fan. Continue.
I don't want to get into nitty-gritty details.
Okay.
The situation absolutely sucks.
Yep.
The Taliban as a theocratic regime trying to institute a very strict form of Sharia law.
Ooh, I see what you did there.
Taking over a government is a horrible, horrible tragedy.
Yeah. It was a tragedy that was coming down the pipeline for 20 years.
When we overthrew them.
Right.
Yeah.
We punted it.
Yep.
Good punting, guys.
And just like the Russians before.
Remember when that happened? No, because I was a baby.
And the British before them.
And I was not around.
And the Mongols before them, and the Greeks before them, and the Persians at a few points.
Yeah.
Empires can't hold Afghanistan. The best they can do is try to keep it under their thumb, and eventually they can't. You can't win it, and so eventually they all leave.
Yeah.
The U.S. is doing the same thing that every empire before.
Grab their opium, and you get out. It's a great... You grab their opium. You get your entire country addicted to the opium. You then realize the opium is bad, and so then you pull out.
No. It was, you go in, you get the opium, and you sell it to people in China, and then you pull out, and then you send troops into China to put down the Chinese government so they can't stop you from selling opium to their people.
No, that was before. I'm talking about the current one.
Oh, the current one.
I'm talking about the current opioid crisis.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
United States.
Yeah. Yeah.
Did you not get that connection ever?
No.
You know how we sent our soldiers over to guard poppy fields?
Oh.
And then there's this whole opioid epidemic all over the United States, coincidentally. I mean, I'm not saying that this connected, but I'm saying it's connected.
I've
been listening to my brother on drives lately, so...
Don't.
Depressing. But he's got some interesting theories. I just blew your mind, didn't I? Anyway, that's over. So now we're out.
Yeah.
And whoever was the last 1% was gonna hit a shit show.
Yep.
It's not even the 1% of the U.S., like Americans. It's the 1% of the Afghans who want out because they've been living it good.
It's probably the last 50% of them.
Oof. It's a lot more than 1%, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. They're fucked.
The Trump administration signed the surrender to the Taliban.
Oh, yeah. Remember when that happened?
Yeah. Last year, barely got any news.
Does anybody else remember when that happened? I remember we talked to the Taliban.
Mike Pompeo, U.S. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo, who is now getting blessed by prophets.
Oh, right. While also getting, like, in jail.
Negotiated a withdrawal with the Taliban.
That's a surrender.
Yes. Biden inherited a surrender with no plan.
And stupidly kept it that way.
And then, yeah, apparently just focused on domestic stuff and forgot about that giant bomb that was about to explode.
Yeah.
That sucks.
Yep.
It really sucks.
Yep.
I think anybody who's trying to make it a partisan issue is full of shit.
Not everything is partisan, and this is definitely one of those.
The U.S. has been fucking around with Afghanistan since the 80s.
Right.
Consistently and continuously fucking around with Afghanistan since the 80s. The Taliban was created, in part, by the Reagan administration.
Yeah.
And it's been just continuing on since then.
Right.
Republicans have fucked around in there. Democrats have fucked around.
Liberals have been we've known this since the George W. Bush days. I mean, I remember this being brought up all the time when I was in high school, which ages me just a little bit. But it's like, we knew that this was going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
It was just when. And the moment that they decided to evacuate the last, that was going to be it. That was going to be the timer on the time bomb. And I'm sorry, it's really, at this point, it's nobody's fault. It just had to happen.
It sucks, and it's messy, and it's ugly. Surrendering and withdrawing is always ugly.
Yeah.
The U.S. withdrawal from South Vietnam was ugly.
Yep.
There's a reason why the U.S. still hasn't withdrawn from South Korea, Japan, Germany,
you have
Italy.
To stay long enough for them to demand that you leave on their own accord. Because it's like, if you try to withdraw before then, you're just going to get your ass handed to you. But
the
if you stick around long enough to become the villain, hey, then leaving is a good thing.
The U.S.-backed Afghan government asked the U.S. to leave.
Yep.
They didn't want us to stay past the August 31st deadline.
No.
Like, this was, yeah.
This was all according to plan.
Yep.
And I don't want to talk about it anymore.
Yeah.
Can we move on to something else?
Yes. Awesome. Arkansas State Senator Jason Rappert is the state senator from a state other than Idaho that we talk about the most.
Jeez. Isn't that awesome?
Oh, boy. So, federal judge Christine Baker has set a September 8th contempt hearing for Mr. Rappert and the Satanic Temple.
Oh.
She is considering holding both in contempt of court.
Okay, I want to hear the story here.
Okay, so in 2018, and yes, that was a long time ago, but remember, there's a pandemic that really screwed up the court system, just like everything else.
And our idea of time.
Yeah. Several private citizens in Arkansas sued Secretary of State John Thurston because he oversees the state capitol grounds,
uh-oh,
which held a Ten Commandments monument, claiming that it was the establishment of religion.
Right.
In the course of the case, the Satanic Temple joined the plaintiffs as an intercessor, and Jason Rappert and his American History and Heritage Foundation got sucked into the case because he was the sponsor of the bill, and the foundation that he runs paid for the construction and installation of the monument.
Oh, there's a shock.
The plaintiffs have asked for, and the judge has agreed they have a right to, the name of who wrote the bill and who are the donors that paid for it.
Right, because if it's going to be on public grounds, state ground, it's good to know.
And they're digging into that.
So at this point, they don't even know who paid for it?
No. It was a semi-religious nonprofit. So Rappert isn't claiming that they don't have the documentation or that the court doesn't have a right to the documentation, just that he doesn't have access to it. To which the judge is saying, you're the president of the foundation. Get the records from your people.
Yeah, you absolutely do. Your name's all over it, and we're about to prove it.
In response, Rappert and the Secretary of State's office have been trying to get access to the Satanic Temple's... Actually, you know, this is specifically... The state of Arkansas is trying to get access to the Satanic Temple's tax filings because they are making the claim that the temple is actually a profit-making enterprise and has joined the lawsuit in the interest of making a profit, to drum up donations and make money for Lucian Greaves and the other leaders of the Satanic Temple.
Okay, okay. Cute.
The Satanic Temple is saying that those tax filings are irrelevant because they're an intercessor to the case, or intervener in the case.
Not the plaintiff.
Not one of the main plaintiffs. They're just helping out.
Right. Well, their taxes had better be on the up and up if they're going to be intervening on anybody, which it probably is.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Whenever I hear some conservative nonprofit say crap like that, I'm like, oh, what are you hiding?
It sure doesn't look good.
It doesn't look good for the temple. Like, and guys just... don't even...
And for the Satanic Temple and Jason Rappert to be getting pulled into the same contempt of court hearing is really bad form.
Yep. They are... Yeah. It's kind of hilarious. This is like a tragedy of comedies. Or a comedy of tragedies. I don't know how that goes. But it's like, oh man. Somebody messed up. And that one little mistake is going to trickle down and snowball until something like this happens.
Yeah. Also, Jason Rappert hates this judge.
Well,
personally hates this judge because he keeps getting sued. She keeps on getting the cases and she keeps ruling against him.
That's so awesome.
She has ruled in his favor once, and that was over a case where...
Stop doing illegal shit.
He was blocking people on his social media accounts, and he claimed qualified immunity as a legislator. She agreed with him, but then allowed the case to proceed anyway.
Oh, ouch.
He is actually claiming in this case also that as far as who wrote the bill... He's refusing that information, claiming legislative privilege.
It was him, obviously.
No.
No?
No, absolutely not.
Oh.
It's...
He didn't write the bill that allowed the Ten Commandments to be put in?
What's the name of... There is a group that we've talked about a whole bunch of times.
Oh, they do Ten Commandment stuff all over the country?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, yeah.
They write the bills... They supply the funder, the donors.
They just need somebody to sign off on it.
They just need somebody to...
Take the fall. I mean, sign off on it.
Yeah, somebody to sign the bill.
And he did.
He did.
Uh-oh.
Presumably, they also gave the money to the foundation that he ran...
Yeah.
To fund...
The making of the monument.
To siphon the money into... To launder the money.
To launder the money. To clean it.
Yeah. Which, if you're the sponsor of the bill, don't use your own foundation.
You'd think it would be that simple. Like paper trail, guys. Paper trail. Never leave a paper trail.
Yeah. And he's now running for lieutenant governor of Arkansas.
God, him and McGeechan would get along real well.
I wouldn't be surprised if they actually do. Josh Duggar. Quiverful movement, Christian right asshole.
Child porn addict.
Started off with Ashley Madison affairs on his wife, and then a whole bunch of stuff about him sexually abusing his sisters as a teenager, and then finally getting busted for child porn possession or distribution. Yeah, big long trail of...
Ew.
This guy's gross to...
To straight up illegal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Progressively more and more and more. He is... Oh, and he also worked for the... worked with the Family Research Council, religious right activist group that we hate. His trial is going to begin in November. He had enough child porn that if convicted, he will be in prison for decades.
That's disgusting.
Yeah.
And it's funny because he's fairly young, so he's going to be in jail for a long ass time.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's not like they just got some 90-year-old. Like they did the bit, like, what was he? It was a priest here that they got for, like,
right.
Sounds really disgusting shit.
It was like 85.
He was like 85. Well, who cares if you throw the book at him? But yeah, a Duggar? No. Yeah. Get him. Get him good.
So his attorney is trying to get the case thrown out.
Of course.
On the grounds that the investigation into him was illegal.
Right. Okay. I can follow that. So what made it illegal?
The main investigation was from the Homeland Security Investigation Bureau. Apparently there is one. I didn't know that before this story.
I didn't know that they existed or were into child porn.
And the head of the Department of Homeland Security at that time was unlawfully appointed by Donald Trump, was known to be unlawfully appointed, and judges have ruled was unlawfully appointed, and that many of his decisions and determinations and rulings have been invalidated because he was not the Secretary of Homeland Security.
Does that include this investigation?
That's the claim.
Okay, so the claim is that the head of the department wasn't even the real head, so this investigation is moot.
Right.
But,
to make that a valid claim, you would need to make a couple extra steps. And that would be that the fake Homeland Security investigations, that Acting Secretary Kevin McAlenon and then Acting Secretary Chad Wolf had personally and corruptly singled him out for investigation.
Right. It wasn't just part of, you know, it wasn't just daily business that it crossed their desk. It was that they had to have been out for him.
Yeah.
And they weren't.
No.
There's no way to prove that. So they're claiming that the investigation is moot. And
there absolutely is a way to prove that.
Well, okay. Yeah, you're right. Sorry.
One of the podcasts I listen to is Privacy Security and OSINT, and the which is open source intelligence. The host worked in law enforcement for many years and actually did do some child porn investigations. How you find those is you just follow the IP addresses. You catch somebody who has it. You track the logs to find out where they got it from, and then you get the data from
the ISP. It's not like there's a person in your neighborhood that you have a vendetta against, and you start tracking everything on their IP and find stuff. It's the other way around.
Yeah.
You have a random IP address that you manage to track down to some... If it happens to land on a celebrity, then so be it.
Yep. This is a case where they had an IP address. They found who it belonged to. Oh, hey, it's Josh Duggar.
Yep.
They checked his computer. Hey, here it is.
You.
Yeah.
Yep. Never been a fan of the Duggars.
Nope. Following along this unfortunately similar thread, Pastor David Pettigrew of the Denison Church of the Nazarene in Grayson County, Texas, got busted and has been sentenced to 30 years in prison.
For child porn.
For secretly filming children as young as 11 getting undressed and bathing at his church.
Of course.
And home.
Ugh. Like, I don't know which one's worse. Why are you getting undressed and bathing at your priest's home anyway?
Right, he probably had a pool.
That's... Oh, yep. Pool party.
Pool party at the pastor's house. Oh, that's safe. He confessed to filming a particular child in his home, and also that he and his co-defendant had recorded a whole bunch of kids at the church. He then uploaded some of the footage on the internet. So yes, child porn.
Distribution.
Which the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children got a hold of it and alerted the authorities, where a Dallas Homeland Security special agent, so Homeland Security investigations again, apparently they're the Child Porn Bureau, went and arrested him and completed the investigation. And yeah, it was an open and shut case. The special agent involved is quoted as saying, quote, "The deviant behavior of any individual that occupies a position or role of public trust, especially one that betrays that trust, is unforgivable and repulsive. The actions and the emotional trauma Pettigrew caused to the innocent children he preyed upon is devastating and life-altering."
I mean, yeah, but I mean, that's a generic statement they tack onto all everything.
Yeah.
It doesn't make it any better.
The attorney put it in even more explicit terms. Acting U.S. Attorney Nicholas Gangetti: "David Pettigrew is a predator who uses position to exploit children for his own gratification. Parents and kids in Grayson County trusted Pettigrew as an educator, pastor, and friends, all the while unaware of his criminal intent. Working with children is nothing short of a privilege, and my office is committed to ensuring that those who assume responsibilities for children do not violate that position of trust." They threw the book at him because he was a pastor.
Yep.
They held him to a higher standard.
Yeah. And they should.
And they absolutely should.
Good. I mean, so often that's not the case. So often it's people are pouring in from the community saying, "No, no, no, he's our pastor. He's done so much good for the community. Go light on him." Or, you know, in Boise's case, "Oh, he's so old. Just let him go." No. It abused kids. Whether the kids were aware of it or not. That's not
right.
The point.
When you are in a position of public trust, inherent in that is being held to a higher standard, and I am happy to see the authorities are doing that.
Yeah. What bothers me is that it's not just this one church. If this is over and over and over again.
Yeah, it really is.
Kids should not be allowed to go to church until they're 18.
Well, heck, the Southern Baptist Convention just determined that, oh no, they don't need any big investigation into child molestation and surveillance because it only happens in a handful of churches and it should just be handled at the local level by the cops. There are stories like this every week.
Yep. Even my neighbor is like, "Oh, just that one church." Like, nope. A lot more than just that one. And yeah. And to keep convincing yourself that week after week after week is just being blissfully ignorant.
I would not say that every pastor is a pedophile or that every Catholic priest is a pedophile, but enough are
that they're all suspect.
They should not be given special trust.
Nope.
They should
no special
all,
privilege.
They should all be viewed with suspicion.
Yeah. And until you can prove otherwise, some of us are going to assume that you're just probably there to fiddle kids.
Yeah.
Like until you prove otherwise, especially people who stand up for these guys. if a kid, you know, this happens all the time in college towns, too. If a kid rapes a girl on a college campus, the people who support that guy, every single one of them, I'm like, "Oh, so you did it, too, huh?" So basically every Republican, most male Democrats, it's just like, it's like, "Oh, so you did that, too, huh? See a little of yourself there?" And what's funny is because it's a baseless claim, but so are theirs. It works.
Cardinal Raymond Burke is the highest ranking Catholic from the U.S. He left St. Louis in 2008 to take over the Vatican Supreme Court, becoming the first American to hold that position. Pope Francis kicked him out of the Vatican Court in 2014 after Burke said that the church was like a ship with no rudder. And he has been on the attack against Pope Francis ever since. Most recently, with Pope Francis's encouragement of people to get the COVID vaccine.
Oh, yeah. So he's doubling down on that.
Burke has been the most outspoken, high-ranking Catholic
anti-masker
opposing masks and vaccines.
Yeah.
And he was just taken off of a ventilator.
No. Oh.
And is still hospitalized with COVID.
Yeah.
He's 73 years old.
That's what not wearing a mask will get you. Sorry, not sorry.
Yeah. This guy, I don't know if he was just trying to score points or if he'd gotten in with the Trumpsters. And it looks like he's going to make it.
Hopefully he'll change his tune.
But let's hope he changes his tune.
If his tune, you know, changes other people's tunes, then yeah, let's hope.
He has a lot of influence with a lot of very conservative Catholics. And those are the Catholics that are the most likely to be
And those are the Catholics where if he were to come out and say, get your vaccine, they would hate him.
Quite possibly.
I don't think there's changing people's minds now. It's been a year.
Vaccination rates are actually going up again.
Really?
Yeah.
Let's see if this FDA approval helped.
It appears to be helping.
That's awesome.
The increase in hospitalizations,
the Delta variant.
Clear effectiveness of the vaccines in keeping you out of the hospital seems to be helping encourage people to get vaccinated. And it's not that people ever stopped getting vaccinated. There's always been people, new and more people getting shots. It's just been trickling down. And now it's climbing back up.
Cool. That's good news.
Not fast enough.
Too bad. That's good news.
But that is good news. Yeah. The Center for Countering Digital Hate identified what they called the Disinformation Dozen. And we talked about that back then. It was the 12 people they have found who have been the cause of almost all anti-COVID vaccination and basically almost all COVID misinformation was originating with these 12 people.
Yeah, where do you get your memes?
And yeah.
They're the meme generators.
So at that time, they asked for Facebook to shut down their pages and Facebook ignored them.
Right.
The White House picked up on this and has been pressuring Facebook to shut down these accounts because they are spreading a lot of very dangerous misinformation that is actively killing people. And Facebook has finally sort of done it. They shut down the pages that were being used to spread anti-vaccination information. In a few cases, they actually terminated the personal accounts. In others, such as Robert F. Kennedy Jr., they left his personal account and his pages where it wasn't mostly misinformation, at least vaccine-related misinformation. He left those up.
Robert F. Kennedy Jr.?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
And they also shut down about another 12 high-profile pages that have been spreading a lot of the misinformation.
Okay.
All the while, a Facebook chief said that this demonstrates that the White House can't see the forest through the trees.
Can't see the big picture here, huh? You know, you found the source of disinformation and trying to cut that out doesn't actually count.
Right. Okay, yeah, there's a forest here and there are some diseased trees. All they're asking is that you cut down the diseased trees so the disease doesn't spread and take out the rest of the forest.
Right. I mean, that works in a lot of situations.
Yeah. You have to cut. You have
Maybe
to kill some of the trees.
Cut out the cancer.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not just the branches that are coming off of it. That doesn't do any good.
And for our final story, polling has found that the number of Americans, at least as of 2019, who accept that evolution is real and a thing and happening has increased.
Well, that's pleasant news.
Reaching 55% of the population.
Oh my God, what? 55?
55%.
And that's an increase? That guts me.
2006, it was about 41%.
Oh my God. Okay. Whatever, I'll take it.
In 2006, in a study published in the journal Science, the U.S. was the second to the lowest out of 34 countries they surveyed on accepting that evolution is true.
Yeah, that's a low number.
Yeah,
I was hoping increase to 75 or 80%.
Now, all of this comes down to how is the question worded.
True.
The 2006 surveys were asking the question of, is evolution true or false, or are you not sure? At that time in the U.S., about 40% of people said that it was true, about 40% of people said that it was false, and about 20% of people weren't sure.
Okay.
Now, 22% of people in the U.S. believe that humans developed over millions of years with God playing no role in the process.
Okay, that's a very different question statement.
Another 35% agree that Americans that humans developed over millions of years, but God guided the process.
Okay.
And combined, that is 55% of the population.
Okay, much more specific.
Way more specific.
Yeah, and probably catching a lot more people than the previous question did.
Yes. And if you go out to 35 years worth of data, it was a statistical dead heat going back to 1985, with accepting evolution really only starting to break away in 2007.
Wow. That's amazing, because I graduated high school in 04.
Uh-huh.
That just blows my mind.
Now,
I remember arguing about evolution in third grade.
Now, in 2005 to 2007, the acceptance of evolution was the lowest it had ever been in those 35 years. But it started to climb again after that.
And is that based on the question that was asked, or is that just...
That's a different survey that has just been looking at accept, reject, or don't know.
Yeah, okay.
Don't know was the highest in the 2005 to 2007.
That would be the people who would assume that God probably was guiding some of it, because it's a very loaded question.
Right.
Without loading it at all.
But this survey also found in 2020.
Survey says
54% accept that evolution is true, and 40% don't.
Okay.
That's big.
We are all descended from filthy monkey men.
They also noted in this survey that the leading single greatest correlation they found on whether or not people believe and accept that evolution is true is whether or not they graduated from college.
Ah, you have to get out of high school and do that extra little.
And in particular, actually not even necessarily graduating from college, having gone to college, that taking college science classes is what it takes.
Well, you know how I feel about, you know, we need to be getting those classes into high school.
Mm-hmm. But they found that the rate of college graduates has doubled since 1985. Student debt has gone way higher, way faster.
Yeah.
And that accounts for a lot of the increase. They also found that it spread across almost all demographics, including religious demographics.
That's really impressive.
And ethnic demographics.
I was not suspecting that.
Even fundamentalist Christians have seen an increase in acceptance of evolution.
Okay.
In that case, we're talking about a very small amount to a little bit bigger small amount.
Yes.
All right. So that wraps up the news. We already covered the feedback from Janice.
Thank you for your concern, Janice.
We got one more. We love you. From Dude Man Deuce on Discord. The Tally reference was great. Also, I'm wondering if hello is a Seinfeld reference.
Nope. Not that I am aware of.
Okay. The Tally reference was a South Park reference.
Right. Hello. Thing. No, I don't. That's not. No. Okay. I was. Although you grew up watching a lot of Seinfeld.
I did, but I don't do that.
But we don't do that. It makes me want to watch Seinfeld again, though.
All right. We have no new supporters.
Womp womp.
If you want to support the show, you can find out how at atheistnomads.com/donate. And if you want to contact us, you can use the feedback form on the website or send us an email at feedback@atheistnomads.com. You can also join the Discord community at atheistnomads.com/discord. And until next week, remember, not all those who wander are lost.
Thank you for listening to another episode of Atheist Nomads. You can find show notes and contact information at atheistnomads.com. Follow us on Twitter at Atheist Nomads, and like us on Facebook at facebook.com/atheistnomads. Please subscribe to the show in iTunes, Stitcher, or your podcatcher of choice, and while you're there, feel free to leave us a review. Theme music is courtesy of Sturdy Fred. Until next time, this has been the Atheist Nomads.